The Off the Ball Podcast Network. OTB
AM. Brought to you by Pandora. Celebrate love with a special gift.
Right, let's turn our attention to rugby. I'm delighted to say Stephen Ferris is with us this morning. Stephen, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning. All good, thank you.
So the Ireland team are rolling after a tricky first game against Scotland, but an excellent performance against Wales. Plenty for the coaching ticket to work on as well at the same time. It wasn't all one-way traffic. But what's your two games in report card looking like for the new coaching ticket?
Yeah, I think after the first game, Jarrett, it was pretty difficult to say what Andy Farrell was working on and what combinations he was looking at and how this team had evolved. And I think that's so difficult for everybody to kind of judge Andy Farrell on one game. Now, after two games, I think what personally, in my opinion, what I've seen is a little bit more of letting the guys go out and express themselves, given the likes of Jordan Larmour, Stockdale, Conway, responsibility, and just going out there and playing rugby and playing heads-up rugby at times. And it was brilliant to see. I think even in the Scotland game, Jordan Larmour made a lovely outside break, really hard work rate in the centre of the pitch, and put one of the wingers away. I can't remember who it was. But, when was the last time we seen Rob Kearney do that in a green jersey? And then he followed it up the following week against Wales when he said, give me the ball, I'm going to make something happen. He used his pace, used his ability, step back on the inside. And that's just what Ireland, for me, in my opinion, I've been missing slightly over the last couple of years. But, I think, the ball is rolling now. It was a bit of a shaky start. Every fan that I met walking into the Aviva Stadium against Wales was nervous, just because of that performance against Scotland. But I think the lads done everybody proud and put in a performance that we could be, we could say this is the kind of the footprint for Ireland moving forward. This is a blueprint of the way we want to play. So real positivity, Ger.
It's obviously going to be a very different scenario and more difficult job against England. Our pack was able to really break even and be a bit more than break even against Wales. Their pack, the English pack, is much stronger. They talked about brutality. That's supposed to be the team's identity at the moment. They've got a 6-2 split in the subs bench as well. So what's that physical challenge going to be like for Ireland and how do we measure up?
Yeah, well, I think the physical challenge in the first game against Scotland really set us back a little bit. They starved us of good quality possession. They brought an intensity to that match that I think shocked Ireland a little bit, and that's something that they would have talked about in the lead up to that Wales game, and now even more so in a couple of weeks' time or 10 days' time coming into the English game. So, yeah, we all know what England are going to bring. Eddie Jones has talked his team up on several occasions. They've got the athletes. For me, I would personally like to see England play with a specialised number 8. I think Tom Curry, Underhill, Ludlam, it's all well and good running around and having 3 sevens on the pitch, but I think you need that ball carrying presence. And Billy Vunipola certainly missed. But you go to Twickenham, I've been there. The lads have been there, won a Grand Slam there. It is a tough place to go, and you know what you're going to get. So they're going to have to raise the physicality stakes. No more soak tackling. I think the average percentage of tackles at the weekend was just over 80% of tackles made. You're going to have to be up into the 90s if you're going to try and win a test match against England.
What about Ireland's back row, Stephen? In Gordon Darcy's column this morning, he's saying Stander who is best suited to blindside. Is that something that perhaps you could see happening and then getting Kellen Dowers back into the team?
I just don't know where all this is coming from, lads. Like, CJ Stander, his best position is number 6. Like, again, walking out of the stadium after the Scotland game, everybody was going to me, I told you CJ Stander was best at number 6. I was like, hold on, guys. He played 76 minutes of the match at number 8. Like, he played 80 minutes at the weekend at number 8 in the two man of the match performances. So I don't know why everybody thinks that TJ's best position is number 8. Trust me, I played number 8 for many a year at underage level growing up, and I played 6 for most of my international career. There isn't that much difference. There really, really isn't. Holding slightly in the blind side when it comes to defensive plays, controlling the ball a little bit at number 8. Yes, you might jump slightly more in a line out, especially if you're somebody like Peter Oman who has that great attribute to his game. But apart from that, you're still ball carrying, you're still making your tackles, and you're still leading from the front. And I think that's what all back rows have got to take into consideration. So I would probably disagree with Gordon Darcy on that one. And at the minute, if you have CJ Stander in your team, you know, it's going to certainly help you.
So I guess the question, I think they're trying to find a way to get Caelan Dorris back in the team.
You're not going to
drop Stander, obviously, after the two performances. So essentially this becomes a, has Peter Mahoney done enough to keep Caelan Dorris off when Dorris started the tournament as first choice in Andy Farrell's mind anyway against Scotland? So can you drop Peter O'Mahony for Caelan Dorris for the England game?
I tell you what, guys, I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about it a lot over the last couple of days. And I think if I had it went slightly differently for Ireland in the last game, you could have said, Dorris, no problem. Let's bring him back in. Let's move CJ back to number six. That wouldn't upset things that much. But Pete played bloody well. And, you know, it's hard to change a winning team, especially a team that gave Wales a bit of a drumming. And, you know, the physicality and that enforcer that Pete brings. Maybe you need a character like that in the dressing room, not just on the pitch, but in the dressing room in the lead up to this big match against England. Because we all know it's everything for England. You know, if they don't win this, it's completely bust. Where Ireland, you know, I think can take a bit more out of it. So for me, I think personally that Andy Farrell will go with Peter O'Mahony and have Dorris on the bench.
In terms of other young Leinster Tyros who've been kind of struggling with injury recently, Ronan Kelleher was expected to start at hooker in the Six Nations. Rob Herring, though, like Peter O'Mahony, has done bloody well over the first couple of weeks. He holds on to that hooker jersey, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's been pretty good. The line-out's been exceptional in the first couple of games. I know there's been a couple of scrappy ones, you know, about 100% there at the weekend. The scrum was a concern against Scotland, and I was asked the question a few times, how much difference does Rory Best make in there with his experience? We all know he can't button his shirt up because his neck is so bloody big. So, you know, he definitely brings that raw strength when it comes to scrummaging. But I think Rob Herring has been superb. Question marks over his Ulster line-out throwing. Him and Ian Henderson haven't really worked this season when they've been wearing a white jersey, but it's all come together in a green jersey. And Keller, geez, you know, he's exploded onto the scene. I think he made his debut for Leinster only in April 2019. Scored a hat-trick against the Ospreys, backed it up, scored another couple of tries the next couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden you're into Europe and he scores in his European debut against Benetton. And he's just, you know, one of these lads that he's now built up a really good reputation. And I think he's just biding his time, and that's exactly the thing he should be doing. He's only a 22-year-old man. His chance will come, but he's certainly got all the talent. He's a physical athlete that I always love having in my team. But I tell you what, Rob Herring's playing some good rugby also.
It's a great scenario for the Ireland coaching ticket at the moment to have two players, both of whom they can trust. And it's actually probably even better to give Herring a bit of rope here so that he can develop into somebody who is truly international class. And then all of a sudden you've got a proper competition. Was Herring always this good, or is he actually stepping up? Has he surprised, you know, obviously you see him week in, week out.
Yeah.
Has he surprised you a little bit how well he's done? Because he's been very good.
No, he hasn't surprised me, Jar. I've obviously been in squads with him. He was around Ulster when I was there. A really good fellow to have around the squad. And I think his performances on the pitch for Ulster, he's really led from the front. He's been the captain a number of times over the last couple of years for Ulster also when Ian Henderson hasn't been there. And, you know, I think Rory Best was obviously number one for so many years with Ireland. And I don't think there was ever somebody like Keller and somebody like Herring playing at the top of his game to ever challenge Rory. And now that, as you say there, Jerry, you have two guys who are battling it out, it's only going to bring the best out of each other. But Rob Herring definitely had it. You know, the physicality has around the pitch is superb. And I love watching him play. And, you know, fingers crossed he can keep this going because he's a top player.
Yeah, he's 30, it's kind of the peak of his career, hopefully now, and he can maintain that as a front row for the next couple of years. I did want to ask you about Will Addison as well, because there's a lot of calls to put him in the team. Alan Quinlan was on with us.
I don't know why, though, Ger. You know, somebody who's played so little rugby over the last couple of months to be thrown into an international jersey, like, it doesn't add up. I'm a huge fan of Will Addison. I think he's got all the attributes. I think he's got all the skills. Every time he touches the ball, he seems to have, you know, time and space. But he's never fit. Like, you know, how can you play somebody that's never fit?
Maybe it's this archetypal situation in Irish sport where, in your absence, we talk about you and talk about you, and your reputation becomes a world beater.
Yep.
I think maybe they just also want to see what it would be like having somebody else who has his distribution skills in the back line.
Yeah, of course. I would love to see that. I would love to see a fully fit Will Addison been able to do that. But like I was chatting to Mark Cueto a couple of years from Seal Sharks. He's been heavily involved with the Irish Legends versus English Legends game over the last number of years, raising a lot of money for charity. And he was saying to me, he says, Will Addison, he says, Stevie, what an exceptional player. He says, absolutely fantastic. You know, you guys have got a real gem coming over to Ireland. However, when he's fit, but he's never, ever fit. And I went, all right, okay. And this was a couple of years ago before he'd signed for Ulster. And now we're seeing the same thing. And, you know, I'm not one to preach about injuries, guys. I had my fair share and, you know, was on the sidelines for a hell of a lot of my career. But, you know, I think he just needs a run of games. And, you know, there's only so long you can kind of say that. He was patched up. I watched him against Bath in the European Cup. He was patched up for that game. I don't think he's finished a game in quite a long time. So, yeah, I'm not sure throwing him into an international setup against England or against France in the next few weeks is the right thing for him, to be honest.
All right, Stevie, we'll leave it there. Great stuff with you this morning. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, lads.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.